You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Andy Borowitz, sitting in for the vacationing Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org. Most architecture professors teach their students by having them design hypothetical buildings for clients who don't exist. But students in Auburn University's rural studio program received a very different education. They got to know some of Alabama's poorest citizens, then designed and built houses for them. The program's founder, Samuel Mockbee, is the subject of Citizen Architect, a documentary that will be shown tonight at 7 p.m. at the Cooper Hewitt Museum. I'm joined today by the film's director, Sam Wainwright Douglas. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Andy. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good now. You only worked on this film for 11 years?
Only 11 years.
Why such a slipshod sort of...
I was hoping I could pull 20 years out of it, you know?
11 years. That's dedication. Now, I was thinking about your film, which is great, and if people are available tonight to see it at the Cooper Hewitt, they should definitely check it out. But the last documentary before this one that I saw about an architect was My Architect,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if you saw that. It was about Louis Kahn. It was this kind of, very brilliant architect, but kind of a grandiose guy who had three families simultaneously. He didn't all know about each other and sort of had his hands full. And I guess kind of the stereotype of the architect in our culture dates back to, Ayn Rand and the guy who is sort of obsessed with his own ego and projecting his ego onto giant buildings. And Samuel Mockbee and your film seem like kind of an antidote to that stereotype. Is that the way you see it, or?
It's a bit of an antidote. I would say Sambo was obsessed with creativity, for sure. It wasn't about his ego and creating some huge building and stamping his name on it. So Sambo really felt like architecture needed to get back to finding opportunities where architects could make the world a better place through what they do and kind of put humanity back at the core of their practices. Instead of looking at architecture as, almost something like sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to democratize it more. And he wanted to bring architecture to communities that didn't get to experience the benefits of architecture and what a beautiful built environment can do. And so, in a way, he is the antithesis, definitely, of that stereotype.
And what was his – tell me a little bit about his backstory. I mean, where did he come from, and how did he first get interested in architecture?
He came from Meridian, Mississippi. He grew up in the 50s and 60s. And he got interested in architecture because he went to an elementary school that was designed by this regional modernist architect. And he just, as a young child, experienced the beauty of these well-lit spaces and – it really kind of let his imagination soar. And so that was his first time he was really bitten by the bug. But as he got older, in the early 60s, as the civil rights movement was going in the South, he lived in Meridian, Mississippi, which is near where the civil rights workers, Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman were killed in 1964.
Mm, right.
And that was a defining moment in his life where he really looked around and said, wow, things are out of balance here. A lot of the way I grew up looking at the world is totally wrong. And there's some injustices here that I want to find a way to reconcile. And I think for him, it was finding a way to do that in architecture. That was his skill. That was what he was interested in. And he eventually did find a way to do it.
And was this the inspiration behind the rural studio? Is this how he conceived of that?
Yeah, definitely.
What year did he come up with that idea?
1993 is when the Rural Studio started. He had had the idea. The idea had been planted for a while. In the 80s, he had done a charity house on the weekends with some of his architecture friends. They designed a home and got some materials very cheaply and built this thing over the course of several weekends. And he wanted to find more ways to do this, incorporate it maybe not into his practice. And he was always looking for those kind of opportunities. And so when he was over in, I think he was in Venice or Genoa somewhere, and he went to do a lecture, and he stayed with these students in this villa, and he thought, okay, this is what I got to do. I got to figure out a way to get students out of the university where they're together, concentrated in an environment where all they can do is focus on their projects. And I want to find a way to build these projects for really impoverished neighborhoods that, you know, can need a hand up.
I'm Andy Borowitz, in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm talking to Sam Wainwright Douglas, the director of the documentary Citizen Architect, which is showing tonight at 7 at the Cooper Hewitt Museum. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Now, before there's a big period of his career before he got involved in the Rural Studio, which was such a kind of transformative idea, where he was, you know, was practicing commercial architect. What was his experience like as a commercial architect, and what were the buildings like?
Well, there was a lot of postmodern stuff.
Not surprising.
Yes, he went through that phase, like a lot of people in the late 70s and 80s. But he did homes. He did homes for wealthy clients, you know, beautiful private residences. I mean, he did some burger joints. He did some post offices, all kinds of things. You know, there were projects that he did that he would always say, well, you know, you see that post office over there? Yeah, I did that to, you know, get my middle daughter through college. And, you know, there were projects he had to do to meet payroll, and they weren't the most exciting things. There were projects that he loved doing. Like, some of these residences were amazing, but he definitely always had that drive of trying to get to the level in his career where he could really put his creativity to work, and he could do it in a socially conscious way. And I think when he was about 50 and he founded the Rural Studio, he hit his stride, and I think he was just elated to be practicing the way that he did
now,
at that time.
How big a class was the first class at the Rural Studio? How many students were there?
Oh, it was probably about 10 students mm-hmm. around there. I can't recall exactly.
And what was when he first put the word out, what was being advertised? It was, you know, people applied to architecture school for all kinds of reasons. What was he saying this experience was going to be?
Well, at first, he really didn't advertise it much because he wanted to be hidden away from the university so they couldn't see
Stop
what he was
it.
Doing out there, you know, out in the middle of nowhere with these 10 college-age students building these beautiful, wild projects out in the woods. But as the projects, as they did a few projects and people started to notice, magazines started writing about it, students started coming back from the Rural Studio telling other students, I had this amazing experience. It opened up my worldview. It was so much fun. You know, I learned in a context that, you know, you're never, ever going to get a chance to learn in a context like this again. And so word of mouth at first, and then they started getting awards and started getting written up in the New York Times and things like that. And eventually, by around 2000, I mean, Sambo, they were in the Whitney Biennial in 2002, and he got a MacArthur Genius Grant, and things just took off, and the Rural Studio became sort of this kind of part of a wave that was building up involving, you know, green architecture and sustainability and doing design and architecture for social good.
Well, now, how did they select or find the people for whom they were building these buildings? Because that is an unusual aspect of this, that it wasn't some theoretical school. They were actually finding real people and building to suit their needs. Where did those people come from? How did they seek them out?
They worked with a local Department of Human Resources, and Sambo was a really charismatic guy. I mean, everybody who met Sambo for 5 minutes felt like he was their best friend. I mean, he had a way of disarming people and making them feel so special. And so in those initial years, he was just so good at reaching out to people and getting to know them and building friendships. And they would work with this Department of Human Resources to find people in need, but they would also get feedback and recommendations from folks in the community. And they would find, and you know, most of the people, they have to own their own land to have these homes built, because mm-hmm. they don't want to design a home for somebody and then have the landlord kick them out and jack up the rents because it's an amazing architectural house. But initially, that's the way they did it, was getting out there and really meeting people and getting the best recommendations they could.
Now, your film includes footage of the construction of a house for Jimmy Lee Matthews.
Yes, Music Man.
The Music Man.
The Music Man.
It's a very charismatic character. It's really one of the great sort of sequences in the movie. Tell us about the Music Man and about his house and what happened.
Music Man is nicknamed Music Man because he's obsessed with R&B and soul records, and he's known all around town as Music Man. He's got this crazy little scooter he drives around, and all this, these mountains of stereo equipment that he's jerry-rigged together.
I am also known as Music Man, by the way, but I that's something, a little-known fact about me, but that's just not true. Music Man is great. How was he very involved in the construction of his home? And
he was, you know, he was there whenever he wasn't working. He was on site hanging out with the students, doing a little bit of work. They would keep him updated on what they were doing. They'd show him models as they had to tweak and change the building along the way. They kept him posted, and he loved it. He just couldn't wait to move into a place and blast those stereos. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that Mach B, I'm not calling him Sambo because I feel that that's a degree of intimacy that only you share with him. But you mentioned that that Mach B was a part of the green building movement and green homes. What were some of his innovations or materials that sort of pushed that ball forward?
Well, the biggest reason they get associated with that movement is their clever use of materials.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, and really the way that came about, was they were trying to do these buildings for very little amounts of money, and they were salvaging materials and really exploiting these materials to come up with these buildings. They were using windshields and hay bales and cardboard bales and carpet tiles and broken up street curbs and old street signs and pine beams harvested from churches that had fallen down in the woods. And so they really had to push it. And so I think in doing that, they were creating these homes with low impact on the environment because they were using materials that were already there and not having to contribute to, well, you know, burning fuels to make all kinds of construction materials and truck stuff in and blah, 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 blah.
Well, as I said before, this is an amazing documentary. Now that I know that you've spent 11 years on it, do you know what you're going to do next? Do you know?
I want to do a film on land art of
land
the American West.
Okay.
Artists like Robert Smithson, Michael Heiser, Nancy Holt, that kind of thing.
Okay, well now, so now you know what you're doing for the next 11 years.
So I hope
cool.
so.
That's good. You've got to block that. I've been speaking with Sam Wainwright Douglas about his documentary, Citizen Architect, which looks at the work of artist, architect, and educator Samuel Mach B. Citizen Architect will be shown tonight at 7 at the Cooper Hewitt Museum. Check that out. It's going to be followed by a Q&A with Sam. Do you have something to add, Sam?
It's also going to play in October, again, if anyone's interested.
And
there's an architecture design film festival happening, and so we'll be there as well.
Okay, well, for more information, you can visit our show page at WNYC.org. And Sam, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.